Amen. Let's just pray. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your word this morning. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you already speak to us, Lord. You've already been speaking to us, Lord, as our hearts were open in you, Lord, as we gathered in worship, Lord. And now, Lord, as we come around your word, Lord, we just pray that you speak to each and every one of us, Father. We thank you, Lord, that your word is truth. And, Lord, let that truth, Lord, set us free today, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, praise God. We've been looking at, as you know, our theme for the year has been grow. Name of the church was changed to Grow Church this year. We've been looking at the aspects of grow this year. So we looked at G, about growing people. We've talked about R, releasing ministry. O, outreaching globally. And W, for worshipping together. And we've been looking at that last area of the W, of about worshipping together. We started off by looking and we saw that worship was a journey. That in life, every life, worship is every day. Every day living is life, is worship. It's a lifestyle of worship. We saw that. But we saw that when we gather together corporately, there's something very special when we gather together corporately, and that our corporate expression of worship together is actually a journey. There's a journey that we go to together, through together, when we gather together in worship. God takes us here and he leads us together and we come to a destination of worship. And I trust and I ask you, did you go to where God wanted you to go today? Did you touch what God wanted you to touch today? Did you go along the journey of worship together as part of our corporate expression of worship together today? Did you do that? We spoke about coming together, that when we come together in worship corporately, we're building something. We're building a temple of God and we come as living stones. We don't just rock in and pile in, but God has actually joined us together to make that temple of worship. And last time we spoke about delighting in God. What does it mean to delight in God? That God is the source of our extreme pleasure. Extreme pleasure, that's what it means to delight in God, that he is the source of extreme pleasure. Did you have extreme pleasure today as you worshiped the Lord today? Because if you didn't, then you weren't delighting in God. And so we learned about how to delight in God. I want to talk about the presence of God and what it is to be in the presence of God and how to apprehend the presence of God. There's a Psalm 89:15. It'll be on the bookmark that you got with your newsletter. It'll also come up on the screen as well. Psalm 89:15, it says, "Blessed are those who have learned to acclaim you, who walk in the light of your presence, O Lord." Blessed are those who have learned to acclaim you. We want to learn something. We want to learn how to praise God, how to worship him, how to honor him, how to acclaim him. And it says, blessed are those who've learned to do that. That when we come together in our corporate expression of worship, you've actually learned how to do that. You've learned how to participate, not to sit there as a spectator, not to have your head down and looking around or whatever else, but you actually learned something. And if you learn how to do that, if you've learned that, then you are blessed. Blessed are those who have learned to acclaim you, to acclaim him, to honor him, to lift up our voices, to declare his wonder, to praise him. Blessed are those who have learned. I trust that you've been learning something and that your worship is changing when you come together because you're learning something. It talks about acclaiming him. And the word acclaiming, it certainly means to rejoice in him. But it also means a shout of joy, a shout of joy. Some of you get so excited, you know, we get the last wicket. Caleb's out there, but I mean, he's watching the cricket. There's a wicket, man, and he just spins around, shout, yeah. Another wicket, gets so excited, and some of you get pretty excited, the football and soccer or whatever else is that you go to. Well, there's supposed to be an acclamation, a shout of joy, it says, who have learned to acclaim you. Blessed are those who have learned. Have you learned to be a worshipper? Because you can learn to be a worshipper. It's nothing to do whether you can sing or not, nothing to do whether you play an instrument, it's nothing to do with the style of music. It's actually to do with your own heart before God and our own sense of delighting in him. Blessed are those who have learned to acclaim you, who walk in the light of your presence. What a wonderful thing it is to carry the sense of God's presence wherever we go. How wonderful it is to bring that sense of God's presence in our lives, that we release that together and honor and worship him. Psalmist in Psalm 139, verse 7. Psalm 139 is that psalm. It's a favorite to many about the way the Lord formed us. We're beautifully, we're wonderfully made. But there's a question, verse 7, it asks a couple of questions. It says, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? Because the reality is that the living God with his omnipresence, God is everywhere all the time. He's the Almighty God. He's always with us. We're never alone. He's always with us. We can't go somewhere without the Lord's presence. You can't hide somewhere and do a little secret sin and think, well, God's not here. He's not watching. No, where can I go from the Lord's presence? He is always there. God is always there. We cannot leave his presence in the sense that God is always there. God is everywhere all of the time. But a sense that we're talking about here is the sense of when we gather together collectively, our corporate expression of worship in his presence. That's what I want to talk about today, is when we gather together in his presence. 2 Thessalonians 1:9 is a scary scripture. It talks about those people who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. And we've got all sorts of images of what hell is like and what it's like. I mentioned some of that, those things last week. I think it was last week. Talked about that, and it's a horrible place. But one of the worst things about hell, other than the burning sulfur and those things that it describes, it says, 2 Thessalonians 1:9, for people who have not called upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, it says they will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the majesty of his power. To be shut out from the presence of God, that is hell. That is hell. It's to be shut out from the presence of God for eternity, never be able to come into the presence of the Lord. And if that doesn't stir our heart to reach out to every family member, to every relative, to every neighbor, friend, workmate, schoolmate, whoever it is, that they would come into the kingdom of God, then surely that would be something that would stir my heart, would stir your heart, that they would be shut out from the presence of God. What could be worse than to be shut out of the presence of the living God? And so that should certainly stir our heart, that we'd see people who don't know Christ come to know him. What an unimaginable torment that would be, to be shut out of the presence of God for everlasting, forever. Not 1,000-year reprieve or 10,000 years or 1,000,000 years reprieve, but forever. And that should, if anything, spur us on to reach out to people. But I want to talk about the presence of God and how that we actually respond in the presence of God. And I want to ask you this morning, how are you in the presence of God this morning? Did you sense the presence of God here this morning? Some of you might enthusiastically say, yeah, wow, I just really sensed the presence of God. And some of you might say, well, gee, I didn't really sense the presence of God. I didn't really experience it. Some people are in there worshiping, but you know, I was just looking at the ground and I was thinking about my lunch and just thinking about the problems that were weighing me down, and I didn't really enter into it. And maybe I was half asleep. I wasn't fully engaged. And well, how do we know about the presence of God? How do we enter into the presence of God? And what actually happens to us when we are in the presence of God? Because I want to tell you without fear of contradiction this morning that we are in the presence of God right now. That right now we are in the presence of the Sovereign Lord. Exactly the same presence as if the Lord Jesus Christ himself was to walk in or suddenly appear towards through us today. We are in the presence of God. So how do we begin to apprehend the presence of God? I want to look at three areas, because as we worship the Lord, we've got to worship, be fully engaged, our mind, our spirit, our body even, to be fully engaged in worship. And I want to talk about what happens in the presence of God. And maybe some of you struggle with entering into the presence of God. And it's not about whether you know, like the style of music, or whether you feel familiar or comfortable. It really is about your heart. First thing is that when you come to church, when you go to church, when you go, is to go there with a heart full of faith. That your mind is full of faith. There's an expectation that you come. And every time that you come, as you come, I'm expecting God to do something in my life. Now, that's a choice that you make. It's a decision you make before you even walk in the door. Before you realize, oh, gee, I'm late again. But no, even before that, you say, when I come to church, I have an expectation that I'm going to actually touch something in God today. It's a decision that you make. Lord, I'm not going to go to church today and leave the way I came, as I said a few weeks ago, that if you come to church and you walk out the door the same way, that is a travesty. That is a tragedy. It's terrible that you were in the presence of God and you did not allow God to do something in your life. And it depends on us. It doesn't depend on anyone or anything else. It depends on us and our response to God. But so when we come to God, come with that expectation in your heart, Lord, that you're going to do something. Lord, that you're going to do something in my life, Lord. And I'm ready to receive whatever you have for me. I come hungry in my heart, Lord. We come with that heart of faith before him. And we know the scripture says in Matthew 18:20, it says, where two or three come together in my name, there I am with them. There I am with them. That Jesus is with them when two or three come together. There's a lot more than two or three of us here. So we know that Jesus is here. We know that's his promise. And so it's not a matter of, oh, I don't know if I feel it or whatever. It's not about that. It's knowing I'm gathering together with the saints of God to lift up the name of Jesus Christ. And therefore, the Lord is there. He is there. He is there. And you can enter into that. I know there's times we've been on holidays, and I remember we went to one church and there was no Pentecostal churches in the place where we were. And there's a little mainline church there, a very traditional church, liturgical in their style. So they have the old little hymn books, which go back, I don't know, maybe 100 years, and some great songs. But the style is liturgical. Everything's read out. Everything is responded. It's a liturgical style. And it's not the style that I'm accustomed to. Maybe some of you were brought up with that style. But it's not about the style. See, in those times when I'm there and they're singing these hymns, and look, as a little kid, I knew a lot of the hymns. I'm thinking, man, I don't even know some of these hymns. But it's not about that. And I said, no, Lord, I'm not going to be distracted by the fact that I don't know some of these hymns. And the fact that it's an organ and there's no drums and there's nothing else to be seen. But, Lord, I'm going to enter in because, Lord, you are here. Because these people love you, Lord. They love the Lord Jesus Christ. Excuse me. They love you. And because they love you, Lord, I'm going to enter into your presence. And, Lord, I'm going to touch you. And so it's a decision because I'm saying these people love Jesus. Jesus has been exalted. And so I just get my mind right first of all because it starts with our mind. It does start with your mind. You come with the right heart. We could have gone there and think, okay, well, we're doing our bit on a Sunday. We're committed. We go to church Sunday. We're on holidays or not. We'll always go to the church. We'll find a church. We'll worship God. Well, there's no point in doing that if we're not going to worship God in such a place. And so you can consciously do that. And I remember even with the organ going, but I just knowing I really sense God's presence there. Because these people were gathered to, and they loved Jesus, they honoured him, and they were doing it in a way maybe I'm not used to in a style of worship. It's not about the style of worship. It's about my own determination. Lord, I'm going to touch you. Lord, I'm going to honour you because I am in your presence. And sometimes it's that faith step that we make. Sometimes you consciously say, Lord, I don't sense anything. Sometimes you walk in and, it's like the presence of God just about knocks you off your feet. Sometimes it's not like that. Sometimes it's that conscious choice and saying, no, Lord, I'm going to enter into your presence, Lord, because your word says we're two or three gathered, there I am right in the middle. And Lord, I'm going to apprehend that. I'm not going to miss out. So it's never about the style. It's about that determination, about faith. Lord, well, Lord, your word says that you're here. So, Lord, you are here. Therefore, I am going to touch you in your presence. And so that there's that determination that comes upon our heart. The other thing is, what is your desire? So you could go to church anywhere, anytime, and if you've got no desire about the things of God, you're rocking up because you're supposed to rock up because that's what you do on Sundays and that's what you do every Sunday, but there's no real desire in your heart that the Lord might touch you, that you might be transformed, you might be changed in his presence, that his love might be poured upon you. If you don't have that desire, then it's not going to happen. And as I asked the question to us last week, the question was, is the Lord the delight of your heart? Is he the delight of your heart? Because if he is the delight of your heart, you will be able to touch the presence of God very easily because you love him so much. He's the one that gives you that extreme pleasure, that total satisfaction is found in him. Is he the delight of your heart? So what is our desire like? What is our desire? Proverbs 8:17, it says, I love those who love me. And those who seek me, find me. Those who seek me, find me. And if you don't come seeking, you're not going to find. And I encourage you that when you come, Lord, you are there, Lord, because your word says you're there. And Lord, we are in your presence because the word says that we are in your presence. So Lord, and I have a desire, Lord, that whenever I gather, Lord, whenever we come corporately, and we're talking about corporate worship here, Lord, that I'm going to enter into that. I'm going to touch you, Lord, because I choose to do that, Lord, because I love you and I seek you, Lord, and I want you to touch me, Lord. I so desperately want you to touch my life. And if that's such your heart, then you will sense the presence of God. And God will touch your heart and God will touch your life. But some people find, oh, look, I find it really hard to enter into worship. Well, where is your brain? Where is your mind? Don't worry about what you're sensing and feeling. Where is your mind, first of all? It always starts in your mind. Is your mind, is there a determination, Lord, I'm going to touch you today. Lord, I know that you're going to be there because your word says that you're going to be there. Lord, and I desire, Lord, I'm going to be touched of you today. And when we're worshiping, Lord, I'm just going to know that you're there. Lord, I'm going to have you touch my heart. But it starts in your mind. But if you're not engaging your mind, your human intellectual capacity, even as you walk in the door, you can very much miss out. And people do that because their brain's everywhere, thinking about this, thinking about your problems, thinking about everything else other than focusing upon the Lord. And you say, Lord, no, I'm going to touch you today. And I'm going to allow you to do whatever you want to do in my heart and my life this day. So what is our heart? What is our mindset when we come into worship together? What are we thinking? What's going through our mind? What is our response when we do that? So it's important that we do that, that we come with such a heart into his presence. And when we come into his presence, sometimes there are physical things that need to happen. Sometimes there's things that happen that we don't intend it to happen, but God just moves. There's some physical responses in the presence of God. But lifting your hands is sometimes such an important thing to do. To say, Lord, well, I don't actually feel like it right now. But Lord, I'm going to bring the sacrifice of praise to you, Lord, and I'm going to honor you. I'm singing about surrendering and loving you. And if I listen to the words that I'm actually singing rather than just parroting them off the screen, but if I'm actually listening to what I'm saying, and then I lift my heart, I'm surrendering to you, Lord, I honor you, something begins to respond. You begin to respond. You just lift your hands up, Lord, I love you, I adore you. But if you're not engaged and the words are just words, but if there's meaning in the words and you give the words the meaning, the words are just words, but as you express them and allow them to say, yes, Lord, I do. I do love you, Lord. I do worship you, Lord. I love you. I do surrender. Then you find that you begin to yield to God. Your hands raised up. Your heart begins to come and begins to honor up. And so there's some deliberate things that you can do. If you don't feel like worshiping, then that is a great time for you to raise your hands. And don't feel like honoring him. Then you lift your hands. You begin to sing with all of your heart. And you find that things begin to change as you do that. As you begin to honor him and begin to lift him up to do that. So don't be one that will stand there and just looking down and whatever. Just say, no, Lord, I'm not going to miss out. This is the living God, the creator of heaven and earth. The one that he made all things, that he loves us with such a passion. And he says, I'm going to visit you with my presence. He's there. God is there. So I don't want to miss out on that. I don't want to miss out on the presence of God. I want to apprehend everything that God has for me and allow that to stir in our hearts. Sometimes when the power of God is present, sometimes people will fall down. You've seen people, we lay hands on people. People get laid hands on. Sometimes there's a physical response to the presence of God. Sometimes people go down under the power of God or slain in the spirit or whatever term you want to use that. And that can happen as the power of God touches us in our body. I remember there's times where I've just felt such the presence of God because I've been hungry. My mind has been set and engaged. Lord, I'm going to honor you. I'm going to worship you, Lord. I'm going to touch you. And have the Lord's presence so strong in my life where I've just, times where I've just been even on the ground where I just feel like, man, I feel like there's an elephant sitting on me. Just the weight of the glory of God. And that's really ultimately what the glory of God means. It's his weight. It means the weight of the glory of God, the weight of God upon us. And there's times that we have that. So there are times when people will fall down in the presence of God, in the power of God. You find that happened to Paul when he was, the Lord said to him, Paul, why are you persecuting me? He's in the presence of the Lord. Bang, he's down on his feet. When they went to arrest Jesus, the crowds went to crowd had gathered around. They're going to arrest you, Jesus. And they said, Judas is talking. Judas is leading them there. They say, where is the one? And Jesus says, it's me. I am he. Bang, they all fall down to the ground because they're in the presence of Christ. They suddenly see something. They all fell down. And there's times when the presence of God will move us, stir our emotions, that we will cry and weep before him. And there's examples there in Acts 2:37. The crowd were cut to their heart. Nehemiah also. People get cut to the heart and there's a response in the presence of God. And so sometimes it's a deliberate thing where you will raise your hand and say, Lord, I'm going to honor you. But sometimes you just find that you're weeping in God's presence. Maybe God does a healing. He begins to touch something within us as we're in the presence of God. But you'll never experience that if you've never came with that faith, that expectation, that acknowledgement that the Lord is here and having a desire to touch him with every fiber of your being. What is your heart like when you gather together, when we come and worship together. I believe God is challenging us on this whole area. So there's a mind response, there's a physical response, but it's the heart response I really want to talk about this morning, about responding in our heart. Because look, we all go through very difficult times, and we go through very many struggles, and things can weigh us down. You're going through a tough time, those things can weigh you down. But as I said, it's a travesty, it's terrible. If you can come to church weighed down by things and you walk out just as weighed down again, it means that there's something hasn't worked. And it's not, oh, well, the music, the song, nothing to do with that. But maybe it was your mindset when you came and you didn't come with the faith, Lord, I'm going to touch you because we're two or three are gathered. Lord, there I am. So, Lord, I know you're going to be there. So, Lord, I'm going to touch you. And have a desire, Lord, touch me, meet me today, Lord. Speak to me, Lord. Speak to my circumstances, Lord. Touch my heart. Or maybe that you're saying, well, I'm not going to be a part of it. Well, if you lock yourself off in that way, then you're not going to receive anything at all. But the response of the heart, one of the wonderful things is that when you have such a heart, it's the joy that you have. Sometimes there's not a lot of joy in life. Some of you going through very difficult things, and if you look at them, that's not a particularly joyful experience. It's a struggle, it's a difficulty, whether it's a physical thing with health, maybe a relational thing, or whatever it is. And that particular circumstances, the happenings of life don't actually in themselves bring a lot of happiness. And so that you feel a little bit down with that. But remember, the presence of God is the thing that lifts us up. And you can walk in that every day. But certainly when we come together is to allow the Spirit of God to rise in our hearts that we might know his joy. It says in Psalm 16:11, it says, you have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. We talked about that extreme pleasure in the presence of God, which was to delight in him. We spoke about that last week. It says, you fill me with joy in your presence. So do you feel a joy? Lord, I'm just so excited, Lord. I'm so grateful for my salvation, Lord, that you'd lift me above all of the mess. And maybe there is a mess. Maybe there's a whole lot of stuff that's going around. But when we're in the presence of the Lord and we come together, and particularly in our corporate worship, then the Lord just lifts us up with a joy in our heart. But don't go home and miss it and go home, oh, I'm still struggling with all my things. Maybe the circumstances haven't changed. But maybe you have changed. Maybe you've changed. And that's the point as we come together, is to allow God to change us, because we want to grow. We want to grow in him. And part of our growing is that he changes us as we gather together and worship in his presence. So the joy, it says, you've made known to me the path of life. You fill me with joy in your presence. Did you know that joy today? Saying, well, maybe I didn't. Well, maybe God wasn't here today. No, God was here. God is here right now. And if you can't sense that in the spirit, or you can't sense that or connect with that, then know it by faith. Know that by faith, because when two or three are gathered together, there I am. And if God is there, and our desire is there, and our faith is there to enter in, then God will touch us, and you find a joy will begin to come. And that you're not weighed down by the things. You know, you're not thinking about, oh no, woe is me, my problems and whatever. Because you're in the presence of the living God, the creator of heaven and earth. And so we're not weighed down by those things. We know the joy of the Lord. If you have that response to the Lord, if you're loving him, then the joy will begin to come. Why go home depressed? Why not go home full of the joy of the Lord, knowing that my Lord is my strength? Lord, whatever happens to me, Lord, I'm going to come through this because you're with me. You promise you're never going to leave me. You're never going to forsake me. I'm not going to be overcome because I am an overcomer. And Lord, I have a strength far beyond my own. Lord, I have the Spirit of God, the same Spirit as we're singing about today that raised Jesus from the dead is within me. So Lord, I'm going to draw on that. I'm going to draw on that, and I'm going to know the joy of the Lord. Know his joy. Know his joy. Don't miss out on the joy of the Lord. Allow him to lift you up. The other beautiful thing about the presence of the Lord is when you enter in. And it's not whether the presence of God is there, it's not. It's whether you enter in. And when you enter into the presence of God, is that sense of rest or peace that you find in God's presence. Because there are many things that will trouble us. Many things will weigh us down. You know, sometimes things are just like always in the back of your mind. And But when you're before the presence of God, and you do that at home as well, you're just in his presence. But when we're corporately together, there's the added dimension, the two or three factor. When two or three gather, there I am. He's always everywhere. But the there I am factor, that when we're gathered together, and there's a rest that comes. Exodus 33:14 is when the Lord is breaking a promise to the children of Israel. He says, "The Lord replied, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." And in 1 John 3, it says, we set our hearts at rest in his presence. See, in the presence of God is where you will find that rest. You will find that presence upon that peace upon your heart and upon your life. It's in the presence of God that you will find that. And some go home, if you go home agitated and upset, say, Lord, no, you're there. I'm going to find that place of rest. And maybe some of you come here this morning and you say, well, I really need to touch that. I really need to find that rest. I really need to do that. Don't go home today in turmoil. Find the rest in God today, because we'll pray for you, because the presence of God is already here. And we'll pray that maybe there's some things in your own thinking you're not apprehending that. But let the Lord touch you. Let him bring you to that rest today. Let him give you joy today. Let him give you rest today. Allow him to have that peace upon your heart. It says, we set our hearts at rest in his presence. If you're going through a difficult time, what a wonderful thing it is just to rest in the presence of the Lord. Allow him to minister to us. Some people get all nervy because they're worried about things all the time. Well, allow the Lord to touch every fiber of your being. Allow him to overwhelm you with a total rest. A rest of the mind, a rest of the spirit, a rest of even of the body, just to rest in him. Sometimes when the Lord touches us, it just, oh, the power of God is you just feel, oh, just lie down and just going to rest in the presence of God. You don't have to lie down, but you can know the presence of God. Allow him to do that. Never go home all stressed out and agitated, because the presence of the Lord is there. It's crazy. It's like you're starving, hungry. There's absolutely starving. You haven't eaten for days. You're absolutely famished, really starving, hungry. You walk in and then there's this beautiful banqueting table that is spread with everything, your favorite food of all of the possible things that you can ever imagine. Beautiful things, wonderful chickens and lambs and crispy creams and all those things all laid out in front of you. And you walk up and here you are, you stand in the presence of this table and wow, all this food. And then you turn around and you walk out the door and you go home hungry. Crazy person. Isn't that crazy? Wouldn't you think you're crazy? It's there for you. You're in the presence of God. Every need that you have is ready to be answered in his presence. And it's not just when you come at the end of the meeting, we lay hands on people. It's actually during the worship time. It's during the time of worship. And if you're fully engaged because you've made the decision and choice, or because you're going to be there because your word says it, Lord, I'm coming in faith with an expectation. Lord, I have a desire, Lord, I'm hungry for you. Then I'm going to be touched. You will be touched. I guarantee you will be touched, that God will touch you. Because that is the heart of God, to touch you. He loves us with such a love. He wants all of us to touch him and to know him and to know that rest. Don't come in stressed and then walk out stressed. Because the Lord is here. He is the only one that can give you that true rest, that real peace. And I'm not talking about coming and sleeping in church. That's not the kind of rest I'm talking about. I'm talking about the kind where you're fully engaged in God. And he gives rest to you where a good night's sleep won't even touch. He touches the core of your being. Our weariness of the soul can be refreshed in the Lord's presence. Something else that will happen when you're in the presence of God is conviction will come upon us. When you know that you're in the presence of God, because God is a holy God, an awesome God, a righteous God, a powerful, awesome, holy God. And as we come into his presence, the Holy One, the awesome God, and his conviction can begin to come in our own heart, in our own lives. And if there's areas that we've tried to hold on, tried to hide, we realize when I'm in God's presence, there's nowhere to hide. Some people don't even want to come into the Lord's presence because they're so full of guilt and shame of the things that they've had in their lives and saying, oh, no, I can't. Well, then they forget the gospel of grace. They forget that Jesus Christ died upon the cross for all our sin. They forget that the scripture says he's faithful and just to forgive us of all unrighteousness. So if there's any rubbish in our lives, then bring it to God. Deal with it. Be washed, be cleansed, be set free. But when we come into the presence of God, sometimes there is conviction will come upon us. It says in Psalm 98, it says, you have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. And when you're standing before God, it's like he's got his holy light shining upon us. And all of the things that are in our life is bang, they're all there. And sometimes when we're in the presence of God, he's saying, I want to deal with that sin. That secret sin that you think no one ever really knows about. They're not going to find out about it. They're not going to know about it. Well, God always knows about those things. And he is always there. He's always there with us. We can't actually, as we read earlier, we can't go somewhere and lock the door and hide and sin without him knowing. He actually knows everything. He's always there. But when we come into his presence, it says, yeah, those things, sometimes we are convicted of those things. And if you get convicted in the presence of God and some things that you've done come to your mind, and, oh, Lord, how could I do that? How could I think that? How could I say that? How could I do that? Then it's not that you will then say, oh, I'm unworthy, and then slink away from the presence of God. If God convicts you, it's because he wants to set you free from that thing. He wants you to be free. He doesn't want you to be bound, caught up in things that are destructive to you or your family. He doesn't want that upon your heart and your life. And so if God brings conviction, and the hand of God is a heavy hand. He doesn't come down heavy-handed on us in the sense of squashing us, but the presence of God, when he puts his finger on something, oh, yeah, Lord, you're dealing with this area in my life. Maybe it's my thought life. Maybe it's my mouth life. Maybe it's my hand life, what I do with my hands, whatever it is. But if God convicts you, don't hide from his presence, because you can't hide anyway. Say, Lord, I bring that to you. And Lord, I'm just going to lay that aside at the cross of Jesus Christ. I want to receive the forgiveness that you gave me when you died on the cross for my place. Don't allow sin to separate you. If sin comes to mind or you're aware of that when you're worshiping God, confess it before him. Receive his cleansing. Receive his forgiveness. Turn away from it. Don't go back home and do it again. Repent from it. Turn away and then just come into his presence and enjoy being loved by a father who loves you so much. Do that. But sometimes there is conviction. Ezra 9:15, it says, here we are before you in our guilt, though because of it, not one of us can stand in your presence. Some people will hide from church because they're so racked with guilt because they know that if I go there, God is going to put his finger on something in my life. Well, but we're ones who aren't like that. And I trust that none of us are like that. If there's things in your life, you know, God wants to deal with, bring it to him. And we're in the presence of God. Say, Lord, I bring you this. Lord, I'm so sorry that I said that, Lord, or even thought that or did that, Lord. I bring it to you, Lord. Just wash me, Lord. Cleanse me, Lord. Refresh me, Lord. Make me new again, Lord. Restore me, Lord. And as we cry out to God, God will just cause those chains just to break off our life. Don't come in with the same sins. If you walked in with bondages in your life, things that are binding you, things that are, don't go home like that. And things that you think, well, no one really knows about it. God knows about it. He knows now. And right now, some of you are probably thinking of certain things. Well, God isn't bringing these things to your mind right now to condemn you, but it's to free you because he wants you to come intimately into his presence. So allow those things to fall off your life. And the final thing that happens when there's that sense of the presence of God is just that sense of being totally yielded to him, totally surrendering every part of our life to him. And maybe there's some of us today that maybe you've never done that. Maybe you've never said, Lord, I give you my life. Lord, I surrender every moment of every day to you. Lord, every thought I give unto you. Lord, every breath I surrender to you. Lord, every part of my life I surrender unto you. If you've never done that, you've never said, Lord Jesus, become be the Lord of my life. Let the sacrifice that you did on the cross for everyone, Lord, let it be for me, Lord. Let me take that forgiveness, Lord, the cleansing and the promise of eternal life. And there's a sense of doing that. And maybe there's some people here today that God's saying, I want you to yield to me today. Because right now we are in the presence of the living God and there's an opportunity to yield to him. But every one of us, God wants our whole life to be yielded to him. And when we come, and that's what's so important about worshiping and lift our hands, it reminds us of who he is and how awesome he is, but what he's done for us. And my response is, Lord, how can I not but yield everything to you? How can I not give everything to the one that is holy, that is sovereign, that is so awesome, that is so powerful? How can I not do that? And so there's a yielding that comes in our hearts. And so I encourage you that when you come in the presence of the Lord to say, Lord, you are Lord. Remind yourself of who he is. If you need to remind yourself and say, Lord, you're worthy, Lord. And they say, lift your hands. Lift your hands, because your body needs to be engaged. Not just your mind, not just your heart, your spirit, but also your body. Lift your hands, your heart. Remind yourself that you are surrendered to the sovereign King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It says Ezekiel 28:30, it says, all the people of on the face of the earth will tremble at my presence. There's that sense of honoring God and trembling in his presence, saying, Lord, you are worthy, you are holy to honor him. My encouragement to you today is, as I said a couple of weeks ago, don't miss out on the journey. There's a leader who's leading us from one place to another in that journey. Did you come on the journey today? I asked you, is the Lord really the delight of your heart? Do you find extreme pleasure, total satisfaction in his presence? But maybe if you struggled with that, or maybe it gets back before you enter through the door. What is your faith expectation? You're saying, Lord, you're going to do something today. You're going to do something in me, Lord. I have my faith, Lord. For two or three gathered, there I am. God is there. And so, Lord, I'm going to enter into that. And there's a desire, Lord, because you're there, I'm going to touch you. Lord, I'm going to be filled with you, Lord. I'm going to be transformed with you. I'm hungry for you, Lord. I want you with all my heart. And, yeah, with my body, Lord, I'm going to respond. I'm going to lift my hands, Lord. I'm going to use my voice. I'm going to proclaim. I'm going to learn, Lord, to shout out and declare that you are great. We lift our voices, and sometimes, yeah, the power of God will come upon us, and then maybe there's physical things that will happen to us, and that's fine. But our heart will respond. There'll be a joy in our heart. Don't go home miserable. The devil is the author of miserableness. So another word for Gary. Don't go home miserable. Allow the joy of the Lord. And whatever you do, determine, I am never going to go home from church the same. I hereby declare from this time forth that I am never going to go home the church the way I came in. Make that declaration yourself in your own mind. From this day forth, I shall never go home the same. I determine that. I don't want to go home miserable if I've got a problem or burdened or worrying or whatever. I want to be changed and transformed in his presence. So make that. If you're convicted of sin, deal with it. Don't go home and miserably sin and be stuck in the cycle of your sin. Allow the Lord to set you free from that, to break it through and walk in a heart of yielded surrender. Let's stand to our feet. I want to pray for us this morning. I want to pray for people this morning that today, even as we've worshiped God, maybe you've struggled. And the reality is you do struggle at times in worship to really enter in. You're there physically. But if you're honest, you're not really fully engaged. I want to pray with you this morning. I want to pray with you if you just struggle in that whole area of our corporate expression of worship, to lift your heart before God, to honor him. I want to pray with you today. If you've come today and you've weighed down in areas of your life where you just feel, look, I don't feel joy. You're talking about joy. Well, I haven't got any joy. Well, I want to pray that the presence of God will be so powerful upon you today that the joy of the Lord will begin to rise up in your heart. If you've come today and you're just stressed out, so many pressures, so many things upon you. And yeah, look, I don't want to live in that, but I'm just stuck in that pressure, that stress right now. I want to pray for you this morning that you will come and you will find that rest, that peace of the Lord that we find in his presence. It'll just wash over you. And all of the nerves that are rattled and frayed will just be refreshed and relaxed in the presence of God. There's areas of sin that you've been struggling with and you're stuck in that. I want to pray the Lord will set you free from that today. And if you've never yielded your knee to the Lord Jesus Christ, you've never said, I want Jesus in my life. I want him to be the Lord of my life. I want him to take away my sin. I want him to give me a new beginning, a new hope. I want to have the promise of eternal life also. I'd like to pray with you this morning. So we're just going to pray and then we'll have opportunity to come this morning. But don't go home. Don't go home frazzled or stressed or unhappy or upset or just locked in sin. Allow the Lord to touch you this day. So, Father, we stand here today. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that we stand now, Lord, even in the presence of the living God. We thank you, Lord, that you are here. Lord, that you are here. Lord, we sense your presence right now. We sense your presence here by the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord. You're wanting to change lives. You're wanting to touch us, Lord. You want us to become different, Lord. You want us to grow even this day. And Lord, you don't want any one of us to go home the way that we came, Lord. You want to touch every single one of us today. So, Father, I pray, Lord, that you just stir hearts, Lord, in those areas, Lord. People, Lord, that, Lord, just don't have that joy, Lord, or are stressed out, need the rest, Father. Those under conviction, Lord, those who need to yield. Oh, Father, those that just simply just struggle when it comes to worshiping. collectively, Lord, corporately. Lord, I pray, Lord, that they'll come, Lord, and know you touch this day. Lord, that you'll set a fire upon their heart, Lord, that something will change within their lives. And Father, I pray for every one of us. Every one of us, Father, let us have a determination, Lord, that we are going to touch you. Lord, that we're going to know your presence, Lord, every time that we gather. Every time we gather, every one of us, Lord, as we lift our heart to you. Lord, we're going to know, Lord, the touch of the hand of God upon our lives. Lord, we're going to know the pouring of your Spirit upon us afresh and in you, Lord. We determine this day, Lord, that we are not going to be the same. Lord, that we're never going to leave the same. Lord, we're always going to be different. Because we determine, Lord, we're going to touch the throne of God every time. Every time we're going to touch you, Lord. We're going to touch you, Lord. We make that determination this day. So, Father, I pray, Lord, for your hand upon each one. And, Lord, even as people make their way, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you bless them in Jesus' name. I believe God wants to touch some people this morning. Just make your way out. Make your way out this morning. Don't you dare go home the same way that you came in. Allow the Lord to touch you. God is here by his presence. Come and God will bless you this morning. We're going to lay hands upon you. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Wonderful God. Mighty Lord. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Thank